The Ogden Music Festival is taking place May 31st through June 2nd at Fort Buenaventura in Ogden, Utah. The lineup includes Molly Tuttle and Golden Highway, Sarah Jarosz, Hayes Carl, Salice, Say She She, Las Cafeteras, Pixie and the Partygrass Boys, and so much more. Other activities include on-site camping, workshops, and a jam camp with headlining artists, yoga, and a kids zone. Kids 16 and under are free. Go to ofoam.org to book your tickets. Here's what Salt Lake's talking about. If you can't tell by the weather, it's spring, which means local hibernators are waking up, and so should we. Jeff and Wes Larson are the hosts of the Tooth and Claw podcast. Wes is a bear biologist, and his brother Jeff has helped out with some of his field research in Utah. On their show, they break down animal attack stories for greater understanding. Now, last year, they myth-busted Utah's black bears for me with a few great stories. Listen up for good intel if you like to camp, hike, or walk your dog on spring trails. It's Thursday, May 9th. I'm Allie Vallarta, and this is CityCast Salt Lake. Wes and Jeff Larson, hosts of the Tooth and Claw podcast. We're going to get down and dirty today talking about black bears. But I have to just tell you before we get into it, when I first moved to Utah, one of the first lies that was told to me about this state is that we don't have bears. And actually, I'm going to out producer Emily Means, who when I pitched her this show was like, why would we do a show about bears? We don't have bears in Utah.
Really?
Yeah, it's surprising. People don't see it as like a very bear-y state.
Yeah, why is that?
There's a healthy population of black bears. It's because they're not nearly as prolific as you would find in like Idaho or Montana or Wyoming. And there's no grizzly bears in Utah. And like wherever you have grizzly bears, like bears are constantly on your mind. But in places where there aren't grizzlies, it doesn't really have the same feel sometimes. So I think that's the main thing.
They really like don't want to get involved with people in Utah for the most part.
Yeah, we have pretty shy bears in Utah. The LaSalles and the Book Cliffs both have really healthy black bear populations. Yeah, but where we did our research, where I did my black bear project in Utah, and then Jeff was my field tech, near Bryce Canyon National Park, there was a very loosely, like, not a very dense population of bears. Not many bears there at all.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think it's the desert thing. Like, we don't think of bears in the desert.
Yeah,
and most of the camping we do is desert camping here.
You can run into one just about anywhere in Utah.
Crazy thing, the only fatality, like, in recent years was right by Provo, right?
The only fatality in Utah recorded history, yeah, was in American Fork Canyon.
Utah's only ever had one bear fatality?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, that makes me feel better.
So black bears are it's so rare that they attack people. They're very shy. It's literally one in a million bears that will see people as a source of food. But when they do, it's probably the worst way to go when it comes to an animal attack.
A black bear?
Yeah.
Because not a grizzly?
Yeah. A grizzly is so powerful that it's just like that devastating kind of power. You don't know. It might rip your throat out. There's a lot of things that could happen. A black bear is literally just going to sit on you and eat you. And you're probably going to bleed out. And that's probably how you're going to die.
Oh.
It's a bad way to go. It's not great.
Yeah.
But again, this is incredibly rare. So since 1900 up until pretty much the present day, there's only been 70 people in North America that have been killed by black bears. And when you look at it, there's millions and millions and millions of interactions every year with people and black bears in tons of different state parks, national parks. There are people interacting with these animals every single day. And almost always that interaction involves a person walking up and the bear running away. And that's what you should expect from a black bear interaction.
Well, can you paint a picture for us of what your bear research in Utah has been like? And Jeff, you were in the field together, right?
Yeah.
Tell me a den story, because that's why we're having this conversation, right? Like, this is the end of hibernation. This is the time of year that I start to get paranoid. This conversation is already not helping. So go ahead and hit us with a den story.
Yeah, so, like, first an overview. Like, me and Wes had GPS collars. I mean, it was Wes's research project, and I was his field tech in Bryce National Park, like, right outside the park in the Poncegon. And what, we had like 14 bears in total with GPS collars, Wes? Is that right?
Yeah, something like that, that we caught and collared.
So then, like, you'd have to go to the dens in the winter because, like, when bears hibernate, they can put on so much weight that, like, you just need to make sure that the collar doesn't get too tight for them. And
sorry, wait, you were going into their dens?
Yeah. Yeah. This is something that you can only do with black bears. You can't do that with a grizzly bear. It would absolutely murder you if you tried to go into its winter den. But with black bears, if you can sedate the bear inside the den and then keep it in there, it's very safe, and most black bear biologists do this. Really, the main risk is the bear running out and getting away.
It was actually not as crazy as you would imagine, because you could kind of, Wes would like be able to halfway go in the den and halfway be outside, and the bear would just be like, it'd be awake every time, but then they'd be afraid of us most of the time, and they would kind of corner themselves, and then Wes could jab them. It's like a 6 foot long pole with a sedative at the end.
Syringe.
A syringe. So Wes would jab the bear, and then we'd wait until it fell asleep and just make adjustments and like make sure the bear's healthy and everything.
Count cubs if it was a female. Yeah.
But there was a couple of dens that were just like so crazy and so scary.
What made them scary? I can feel my chest tightening.
The scary ones is like when you get to the GPS point and you still like don't see where the den is. And then we're like, oh man, this thing's going to be like buried somewhere. So there's one where it was like, we were looking for a little bit, and then we saw like this little crevice in these rocks. You kind of almost had to like slide down in between these narrow rocks, and like you just laid on your back and like slid down into like a cave where there's a GPS point where there is a bear.
It was ice coated too, so once you get in it, you just like slip all the way down into this like little narrow cave.
How do you get out?
It's scary because it's like, how are we going to get out? But like, we ended up going in, and then it kind of opened up a little bit inside, but there's like no bear, but then it kept going, and like it was like super narrow, and Wes is smaller than I am, so he's like, you know, I'm just gonna go like through this next section and see if the bear is in there. And he's like, I'm not sure if I can get out if I go in there. So, like, you stay here and just, like, pull me back out, you know? So he, like, literally, like, squeezes his body through this entrance. And then, like, I, like, hand him the, like, jab stick, it's called, afterwards with the sedative. Mm-hmm. And then he, like, shines his light around, like, he's in this, like, new opening. And he, like, shines his light and sees the bear. And then, like, all I'm getting on this like outside part is just audio. There's the bear. So then I'm like freaking out because I have like no control over the situation. It's like when you're like in the passenger seat of someone driving like way too fast and you just feel like you have zero control over the situation, you know?
And that person is your sibling, which I feel like adds a level of tension that is unparalleled.
Wes starts saying, oh, she's mad at me. She's going to bite me. But he's just like talking out loud, you know? So I was like, wait, is it like attacking you right now? But yeah, what was your perspective in there, Wes?
She was around a right corner and I could only see her head poking out. And to inject the sedative, you need to get into like a muscle mass. So I didn't want to poke her in the head, obviously. And I stuck my jab stick out kind of in front of her to see if I could entice her to come out a little more to get the poke into her shoulder. And she just ripped it out of my hands. She grabbed it with her teeth and kind of did a growl and ripped it out of my hands.
And that was really abnormal for what we had been dealing with. Like most of the time they cornered themselves.
It happens sometimes, but usually you have like the bear will then push itself further back. And I didn't know, I couldn't get in front of her because then I would have been like a foot away from her. And so at that point, I was just like, okay, we're done. We're not doing this one. And Jeff pulled me out and we managed to kind of like Spider-Man our way out of the den.
Yeah.
Her collar was fine. I got a good look at it just looking at her. But we were hoping that she might have cubs and we could count them and get them entered into the database. But we got out of there.
Well, I'm surprised that the goal here is to kind of sneak up on them, because I would think that that's the last thing you want to do.
Yeah, they are hibernators. There's a lot of kind of confusion around bears, whether or not they're actual hibernators or not. And most bear biologists now agree that they are hibernators. But they're really efficient hibernators, so they don't have to drop their body metabolism and all their like body processes to the level that like a ground squirrel or something would. And so because of that, they can come out of their hibernation really quickly. So if they hear something approaching their den or coming up the snow toward their den entrance, they start waking up. And within like 5 to 10 minutes, they'll be fully awake. I mean, they hear so well, like we were never quiet enough to fully get them when they were like totally out still. And so they always were at least coming out of that hibernation, and they're a little groggy usually, but that bear had probably heard us for 20 minutes by that point, and she was wide awake.
Salt Lake, I invite you to seriously upgrade your post-work hikes, picnics, or backpacking trips with Basecamp Treats freeze-dried snacks and desserts. Here is why I love freeze-dried snacks for an outdoor adventure. Top of the list, they are weightless and durable. Also up there, no mess. You can enjoy Basecamp Treats fire-roasted s'mores without gooey hands. And besides the function of it all, there is something about the way we can change something's texture but retain its flavor that totally delights me. Basecamp Snacks' innovative approach to freeze-drying snacks is award-winning. They were named Utah's most creative dessert. And yeah, from raspberry cream puffs to strawberry bark and freeze-dried pickles, they have character. Treat yourself on your next outdoor adventure. Visit basecamptreats.com to see all their products. You will be shopping local, and you'll get 20% off your online purchase with promo code CITYCAST20. That's basecamptreats.com. Epic Brewing is one of the OGs in building Utah's craft beer scene. But I am most excited about their recent adventures in canned cocktails. First, they released the Utah Mule. And as a big fan of ginger, I have been sipping those for almost a year now. But now, this April, we have the Utah Margarita. A delicious, locally fermented blend of real lime and agave. And they create alcohol by fermenting cane sugar instead of using tequila, which means you can buy Utah margaritas at the grocery store. Pick up a 6-pack of Epic Brewing's Utah Margarita or Utah Mule at any local Harmon's or Trader Joe's. Or you can visit Epic Brewery on State Street in downtown Salt Lake City. They're open 7 days a week. And this fall, look out for the Utah Cosmo. Part of the reason that we invited you on this show is to talk about bear safety. Yeah. And I feel like what you would tell listeners is don't do a single thing that you guys did in that story.
Exactly.
So for regular people who are like on the trail, how do we coexist?
This definitely is like my bread and butter. I've studied human-bear conflict with 4 different species now. Grizzly bears, polar bears, black bears, and sloth bears in India. And black bears, of all of those bear species, probably of all the bear species in the world, are some of the easiest to coexist with. They are very shy. They've evolved to climb trees, which gives them a really good means of escape. Whereas a grizzly bear has evolved to spend more time on the ground digging up stuff. They don't climb nearly as well, and they're much more likely just to engage whatever is threatening them. A black bear knows that it has a way to get away. So rather than engage, rather than come at you, it's going to try and get up a tree or just run away. And every once in a while, if a person pushes a bear a little too hard or if there's some kind of other circumstance, they'll do this big display where they swat the ground and they make like a sound and they clack their jaws and they do this whole thing. And then sometimes they'll bluff charge you. And that's all a display. That's the bear telling you, hey, I'm a bear. You shouldn't mess with me. But like hardly ever do they actually make contact with the person when they're doing that. That's just a bear being defensive. Really, the only bear that you have to watch out for in Utah, because all we have in Utah are black bears, is a bear that's really following you and being really sneaky. If you've got a bear that's like following you and it's got its ears kind of perked up and it's like listening and it's like in stalking behavior, If you're like, if you get off a trail and it follows you off the trail, that's a bear that maybe is investigating you as a source of food. And that's a bear that you need to be very aggressive with.
Allie, what do you think you should do if a bear's following you?
Okay, yeah. First of all, how do I know if a bear is following me? Like, that to me feels impossible.
You'll know. I mean, it's like if you're walking a trail and you see a bear walking the same trail, you can just stand off the trail and it's going to keep going. But if it then follows you, or if it's like hiding behind trees, or kind of like, if you can see that it's just totally focused on you, it's very obvious generally. And that's the one type of black bear that you have to be really concerned about. And that's why I do recommend people should always have bear spray with them when they're in any kind of bear habitat, because it works. It works incredibly effectively. Hmm. It creates a whole cloud of pepper spray that the bear has to pass through. And it just chokes them. It shuts off their smell, their sight. They're like, they can't taste anything anymore. For them, it's just like lights are out and they get out of there.
Okay.
I want to hear Allie's thoughts right now. She looks so concerned.
I'm like, I hear you, Jeff. I'm like, I'm dodging it.
I'm not hiking at all this summer is what I see on your face.
No, if that's me in that situation and I think I'm being followed by a bear, I'm calling Wes.
There you go.
That's fine. You got my number.
Like, Wes, it's Allie. We talked once and I'm in danger.
What do you think is like the worst thing you could do?
Well, oh God, this is the problem, is that like, we talk to like wildlife people often, and I feel like sometimes the guidance is similar and sometimes it's different. So my guess would be worst thing I can do is run.
Exactly.
My guess is what I need to do is like, okay, here's what I know, like stand your ground, do the like ho bear, low voice, make yourself big, right? Like smash things. I don't know. Basically throw a tantrum.
Those are all things that will work. But what you just said is really important, that there's like all this information. And what you don't want is for someone to have this encounter that they only have a few seconds to really decide what to do. And they're like, okay, what am I supposed to do? I need to run through all these things in my head. So what I would advise is like three things. And if everyone just remembers these three things, it'll greatly, greatly, greatly reduce their chance of ever having a negative encounter with a bear. And those three things are grouping up. So if you're in a group of people that spread out at all, come together as one big cohesive group, because bears do not like engaging with groups of people. They simply don't like it. So number one, group up. Number two, get your bear spray out and get it ready. And you might say, like, what if I don't have bear spray? Well, what if I'm not wearing my seatbelt in a car accident? You know, it's just like you are taking a risk then that you don't need to take. Have some kind of deterrent. Bear spray is cheap. It's readily available. It's easy to carry. There's no excuse to be hiking in bear country without it. So have bear spray ready and then just slowly back away. So those three things will work with both species, with grizzlies and black bears. It'll greatly reduce your chances.
Well, I hear you saying if you're in bear country, but like, the average Salt Laker probably doesn't know if they're in bear country, because to bring it back to my first question for you, most people in this city think we don't have bears.
Yeah.
So is everything in Utah fair game for bears?
Not everything, but like anywhere in the Wasatches, pretty much any like wooded habitat in Utah is going to be home to black bears, and some non-wooded habitat too. So I would just say if you're hiking in the mountains, especially if you're hiking alone, carry bear spray, because it'll work on moose, it'll work on a mountain lion, it'll work on
a person.
People. Like it's a great tool to have, and it'll give you the confidence you need just to really enjoy your hike and never be paranoid, because it works. It works really, really well.
You guys make this show where you talk about attacks.
Right.
And listening to your show and thinking about this, in my mind, was comparing it a lot to true crime. Because like it kind of is a form of true crime, right? It's like animal crime.
That's how we pitched it before we started it, was like a true crime of animal attacks.
Yeah, because it's like we know that it's these things are fairly rare. They're pretty infrequent. That's part of what makes them so compelling to consider. But like when you step away from it, what you're trying to figure out is where should I be on the spectrum of anxiety?
Right.
Like, how much should I be absorbing this as a potential reality for me? And so, like, where do you come up? Where do you, like, land on this, Jeff?
For me, in Utah, honestly, I'm not afraid to go out in the woods.
Yeah, he's a near zero on the anxiety scale in Utah.
We tell people to bring bear spray because it's smart and it will protect you if there's an encounter. I don't personally use it in Utah, but then like in the Tetons or Yellowstone or Glacier, places where there's grizzly bears, like you just have to have it. You know,
probably not going to need it on like, you know, 10,000 hikes, but it's that 10,001 where you are going to really wish you did have it.
Well, so Jeff, what you're saying is you don't follow any of your brother's wisdom.
No, I do.
Jeff knows animal behavior, though, better than like the typical person.
Yeah.
My advice is more for people that do have any kind of like insecurity about being around black bears. Just carry it. Like, there's no reason not to. If you feel really confident, you're probably still going to be fine. Like, I'm not going to tell people you have to carry bear spray in black bear habitat. You do in grizzly habitat. If you don't have a deterrent around grizzlies, you're making a big mistake. But with black bears, it's kind of up to you. But you might as well carry it if you have any kind of anxiety. It's worth it.
Okay. And if I'm like camping or like going somewhere really secluded, like I'm going to bring it just to have it, you know?
When you do see this stuff in the news, it's often like, black bear stalks person or mountain lion hunts person down in this bloodthirsty attack. Or, you know, you see all this language of like blaming the animal or creating the animal into this kind of monster. And our whole point of the podcast is to tell these stories, which are fascinating and people love, but then to show like, oh, but this is why all this happened. Like, these are these factors that the people did that contributed to this attack. Like, yeah, a bear attacked a person, but this bear had also been fed for weeks before it did this, you know?
Right.
And I think once you have that context to these stories, you start to realize, oh, if I just act appropriately and if I'm prepared for these kind of encounters, I have so much more confidence going outside. And that's what we're finding. We get a lot of messages from listeners saying, I feel so much better. I feel so much more confident. It's weird to me that a story about a person getting eaten alive by a bear would make me feel more comfortable around bears, but it does. And that's kind of the power of that information, getting it from people that are actually doing their research about why these things are happening.
And it is kind of like a balancing act, I think. Like, you need people to respect black bears. Even in Utah, they're an animal that could kill you and eat you, you know? And like, you need people to understand that. But also, like, the worst case scenario is someone gets so scared about seeing a black bear that they don't know how to act. Like, they freeze or run away. So I also want people to, like, be able to feel confident that if they see a black bear, like, everything's probably going to be okay.
This has been such an emotional roller coaster for me. I'm like, one minute in this conversation, I'm sweating. And the next minute, I'm, like, feeling more confident than ever. I'm like, but yeah. I think, I mean, it sounds like we should probably have bear spray on us.
Yeah,
it's a good idea, especially if you're on your own and you're not super confident. I think it's a great idea to have it. Know how to use it. Practice sliding the safety off a couple times. It's very cheap. It's very easily found.
It's kind it's of just fun to have.
Yeah, it makes you feel powerful.
Yeah, it's like nothing can mess with me now. I got bear spray.
Exactly.
All right. Wes and Jeff Larson, hosts of the Tooth and Claw podcast. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate
it. Thank you, Alex.
Thanks for having us.
I asked Wes and Jeff what we should be most worried about on the trail these days, and they said snakes, moose, and frankly, other people's dogs. That's right. And if you live in Salt Lake City, I bet that one resonates. That is all for us today here on CityCast Salt Lake. We will be back tomorrow morning with more from around this city. Bye.